नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीशुख उवाच एजमं अशावशीतो राजा चित्रकेतुर्द्विजोक्तिभिः विमृज्य पाणिना वक्त्रम् आदिमलानाम् अभाषत.
वी रीड ट्रांसलेशन ऑफ 9-15.
Shri Sukadeva Goswami said, continued, thus enlightened by the instructions of Narad and Angira, King Chitraketu became hopeful with knowledge. Wiping his shriveled face with his hand, the king began to speak. King Chitraketu said, you have both come here dressed like avadhutas, liberated persons, just to cover your identities. But I can see that of all men, you are the most elevated in awareness. You know everything as it is. Therefore, you are the greatest of all great personalities. Brahmanas who are exalted to the position of Vaishnavas, the most dear servants of Krishna, sometimes dress like madmen, just to benefit materialists like us, who are always attached to sense gratification. And just to dissipate our ignorance, these Vaishnavas wander on the surface of the globe according to their desire. O great souls, I have heard that among the great and perfect persons wandering the surface of the earth to instruct knowledge to people covered by ignorance are Sanat Kumar, Narad, Ribhu, Angira, Devala, Asita, Apantaratma, or Vyasdev, Markandeya, Gautama, Vashishtha, Bhagavan Parashuram, Kapila, Shukhdev, Durvas, Yagnavalkya, Jatukarna, and Aruni. Others are Romasha, Chyavana, Dattatraya, Asuri, Patanjali, the great sage Dhaumya, who is like the head of the Vedas, the sage Panchashikha, Hiranyanabha, Kaushalya, Shrutadev, and Ritadvaja. You must certainly be amongst them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Jnana Hetavaha is very significant because great personalities like those listed in this verse wander on the surface of the globe not to mislead the populace but to distribute real knowledge. Without this knowledge, human life is wasted. The human form of life is meant for a realization of one's relationship with Krishna or God. One who lacks this knowledge is categorized among the animals. The Lord Himself says in the Bhagavad Gita 7.15, Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradhamaha mayaya apritagyana asuram bhavam ashtitaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Ignorance is the bodily conception of life. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridhatuke saiva gokharaha practically everyone throughout the universe, especially on this planet, Bhurloka, thinks there is no separate existence of the body and soul. And therefore, no need of self-realization. But that is not a fact. Therefore, all the Brahmanas listed here, being devotees, travel all over the world to awaken Krishna consciousness in the hearts of such foolish materialists. The acharyas mentioned in this verse are described in the Mahabharata. The word Panchashikha is also important. One was liberated from the conception of Annamay, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, and Anandamaya, and who is perfectly aware of the subtle coverings of the soul, is called Panchashikha. According to the statements of the Mahabharata, Shanti Parva, chapters 218 to 219, an acharya named Panchashikha took birth in the family of Maharaj Janak, the ruler of Mithila. The Sankhya philosophers accept Panchashikhacharya as one of them. Real knowledge pertains to the living entity dwelling within the body. Unfortunately, because of ignorance, the living entity identifies himself with the body and therefore feels pleasure and pain. We can see today that the story of pastime of Chitrakuta Maharaj is taking a positive turn. Chitrakuta Maharaj has been plunged into a type of lamentation, shoka, which is difficult for all of us to really imagine. Because to have attained something so very rare in his life, after so much endeavor, the endeavor is practically, we have not even seen anybody so very determined to get something achieved as much as Chitraketu. To go to the extent of marrying millions of wives for just one son is definitely an act of tremendous Herculean determination. So we must give him plus 4 on that, definitely. He's an extremely determined man. He's totally one-pointed. What we call in our language as Vyavsadmika Buddhi. His buddhi is fixed. He's not wavering and say, oh, let it be, you know, whatever, chalta hai. He's not a chalta hai man. You know, he's a very, very focused man. And after having achieved, out of so much labor of years and years and years and years, to get their desire fulfilled and to enjoy it only for a short time and to lose it in such a very, 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 like a total anticlimax in his life, from the heights of joy, bliss, fulfillment, dreams, you know, is sort of seeing the brightest part of his life coming true. And then from that, crash down into an abyss of complete, utter darkness. It is quite a fall for anybody in this world. And whatever you may say, this lamentation is, I'm sure anybody in the situation would lament. What else can you do except just lament? And this doesn't just happen in his life, it happens in so many people's lives. Suddenly you are in the top of your career and something suddenly goes wrong. Forest fire. We sing every day the first words of our daily life, Samsara Dava. There is a fire suddenly in your life and then just things crash down. So many young, ambitious people, software engineers and call center people and this and that. And some disease strikes suddenly and they are dead. It's not uncommon to hear. Morning you are all right, apparently all right, and evening you are dead. It happens all too often in today's world. So something can happen very dramatic. You must be prepared for that. And when such a thing happens, you can only react in one way. That is just lament. But unlike most people who just keep on lamenting because they are unfortunate to not have had the immense mercy of the Lord in the form of divine intervention. Not everybody's life has a chance for divine intervention. It just goes in its own flow. But there is an intervention being made by the most enlightened people in the entire planet, in the entire universe practically. They intervene. And we can see that the coming year, without being called for, generally when a devotee would be lamenting, you know, he will have to go and approach somebody, Prabhu, please help me. But a first-class devotee, a first-class friend, a first-class well-wisher would be a person who would proactively just identify that here is my friend who is having a problem and I need to go to him. This is very nice culture actually. And it speaks very instructively to all of us as a community here, that when we find a devotee who is actually in trouble, it may not be possible for various reasons for him to really go and ask for help. Because many times when you are in deep lamentation, you cannot just think of anything else. Your mind gets paralyzed. In this situation, Angira, this great king couldn't even think of anything else. He has already met Narada and Angira before. They have given him a son. So he could have logically thought, oh, now I have a problem. I have a big problem. I should go and seek out these people and send a letter that they can come and meet me and help me. And I really need some advice very desperately. But he couldn't, I'm sure, just couldn't think. He was completely, utterly paralyzed. And that can happen to us. We just become completely blank. And if some devotee actually out of a good Samaritan just comes up to us and rallies around us and gives us good counsel. As is often said, sometimes these big crises may be the beginning of a good era in your life. We have heard too often this, many times we have seen in Bhagavatam stories and even practical lives. Sometimes it is the massive change of your life which really opens a new dimension which you have not thought before. So here this lamentation ultimately turned out to be good for him because it has really opened his heart wide to listen. He has already, please remember, he is a devotee. He is not a materialistic person. Even though he is saying, I'm a materialist here and I'm in sense gratification, he's already been labeled in the next few verses by these rishis as saying that you are an advanced devotee and this doesn't befit you. Just like Krishna told Arjuna, doesn't befit you. You are a man of knowledge. You are a pandita. You should not speak like this or lament like this. So he's a devotee. So we can identify with Chitrakutu Maharaj because he is also a devotee. We are sort of devotees also. So, but when he saw the great sages, he did not ask for anything spiritual. So we may also approach the spiritual master, approach an institute like the Hare Krishna movement with not such high spiritual aspirations. We may come for comfort, we may come for relief from misery, out of the being fed up with material life. And we may not really open our hearts to the highest availability which is being offered. The institute is giving you the highest thing. It is giving you the highest achievement, what we call technically as Pancham Purushartha, which is not available in practically any part of the universe. It is the rarest of all rare things beyond moksha also, beyond liberation, which even in itself is so rare in this world. Liberation is impossible practically, but you are getting something beyond liberation. But how many of our hearts are really, when we come into this movement, we are looking for that. We come for relief, for some friendship, some good people to be with, and some sort of a social circle where we can really identify as nice people around and we feel comfortable, more homely, more family type of atmosphere, not so much of backbiting, politics is going on, people are more open to help. You know, you feel a state of a lot of emotional relief from being cheated and exploited by the outside world, where people are just outrightly trying to harass you, harm you, torture you, and so many things. So we may go into a state of complacency of spiritual, well-being among the devotees. But we should know that there is something much, much higher being offered. And here, this catastrophe has opened his heart to get that, which is the real gift a sadhu can give you. The sadhus around us are not here just for giving us emotional counsel when we have a problem. Oh, it's all right, and this and this, some counsel. That they are here to really give us the highest benefit. Because that in itself is the highest solution to all problems once and for all. But here his heart for the first time is now open. And now his mind is changing. And within just a few minutes of preaching, Chitra Maharaj is so much relieved. We can see he's talking positive now. He's really beginning to say, oh, I thank you so much for coming and telling me these things. He's become very, very, he's getting solaced. So this is like an expert counselor. And if you see essentially here, the counseling which is being given, the counsel which is being given to Chitra Maharaj, is not some very, very hi-fi, rasika type of philosophy required. Nothing. It's just basic second chapter content of the Bhagavad Gita being told to him. Basic. So even that is enough. Our philosophy is so high, but even the basics are so powerful, they can get you out of even the biggest catastrophes of life. There is just second chapter content. Basically, if you saw, the preaching is that talking about the temporal nature of this world. What Krishna began with second chapter, Dehinushmata, Dehi Komaram Yanam, just trying to identify the difference between body and the soul. It is just that basic fundamental thing which even an advanced devotee like Chitra Maharaj can really become oblivious of when he is struck by the illusion of lamentation. So even though we hear this every day when we are in a dire emergency of life, when we really need this knowledge, like Karana needed the knowledge but he forgot at the right time. We can also be cursed by Maya Devi, where we really require this knowledge to use it. But Maya can curse you that you just become blanked out. You cannot use this knowledge, this information which you have heard since you became a devotee. Very first day you heard this. You are not the body, you are a spirit soul. And the same thing is being told to Chitra Maharaj again. Nothing big, nothing Radha Krishna, nothing Vrindavan, nothing high. Just, what is the relation with the sun? He's just temporary. So how important it is to hear even the basic philosophy again and again. It's very important to hear the basic thing because that itself is going to be coming to our help. It won't be Radha Krishna Leela so much, which will really draw us out of our lamentation, but the basic thing. So that's very, very instructive here. One of the most powerful themes which I felt, which comes out from this entire narration of Chitra Maharaj, is about the element of fullness of life. This concept of fullness. Chitrakuta Maharaj is actually, his life is quite full with so much. He's got so much. He's got everything on the planet is his. And what more can we expect than that? Everything on the planet, all the trees, all the fruits, all the jewels, all the diamonds, all the rubies, all the best women, all the wealth, all the elephants, all the infantry, the treasure, everything on the planet is his. So how full is his life? In today's world, as many of you have said before, just a house or a family with two children and no loans on your head, you feel full. Life is nice. But to have everything on the planet as yours and still experience complete vacancy and still experience complete vacuum, that is what is startling to understand. That you have everything on the planet and experience complete vacuum. It's a very sharp contrast to observe in Chitrakuta Maharaj's life. Everything in the world made no sense to him. Absolutely. This is a very strange phenomenon. Just lack of one unfulfilled desire. One. And this is what Krishna and Maya Devi, they are actually one. Just that Krishna is positive and Maya Devi is negative, that's all. They are actually the same substance in one sense. We'll see the Krishna side and then we see the other side. In a devotee's life, he experiences so much of fullness. Now we have all of you people here who are renounced people. Now by definition, renounced means they have nothing. That's by definition. They just have nothing. Nothing in this world belongs to them. That's the meaning of renunciation. And all of you are practicing that. But all of you emanate, and every other devotee who is in our movement, because our movement really supplies Krishna abundantly. Everybody in the movement who is an announcer, whether a sannyasi, or a vanaprasthi, or a brahmachari, they experience so much of fullness in their life, even though they have nothing, except one locker, which even keeps on shifting. Nothing. So what does it really mean that Krishna factor is so complete in itself that once it enters our life, it occupies everything? That you have a complete darkness in the room and all required is one small flame only. One small flame and the light can occupy the entire room. You don't require anything more than just one flame is enough. So Krishna is Surya Sama, or he is like the light. And that one light, if it enters, the one ray of, not just one, not even the whole sun should enter into your life. Just one ray enters the dark life of a person who is suffering. That one ray, because it's non-different from the sun, illuminates his entire life and it becomes full. It becomes full. He becomes completely nourished with that. That Krishna factor nourishes every aspect of his existence, physical, emotional, mental, intellectual, spiritual. He just is completely like a whole flower, just becomes blossomed. Everything is provided just by that Krishna factor. Whether you have a great king like Yudhishthir Maharaj or a poor man like Sudama or Kulavesha Sridhar. On the other side, we have Chitraketu Maharaj, you have the Sudama person. Chitraketu Maharaj, you know, we have Kulavesha Sridhar, who has nothing again. He's a grihastha, of course, here, not a brahmachari. But he has nothing. So in that sense, he's like a sannyasi. Not in a proper house, he's a grihastha, but no griha practically. As they said, they were saying there is more holes than house. There are more holes than roof in his house. More, torn cloth than cloth. More malnourishment than nourishment. More bones than skin and flesh. There's nothing. More misery than pleasure. Misery of just having nothing. But we can see his life was full. It was so full to the brim. He was so full in himself. I said, it is full. It's full of it. It's full. That even though Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit wanted to offer something more to that fullness, said, do you want to have, to become the king of heaven? He said, no. Why he said no? Because he's full. What is the meaning of being a king of Indra, King Indra? What more can the king of Indra have than I have? That's meaning of fullness. Then he had to give something higher because it is not a very attractive proposal. Maybe something bigger. 8 mystic perfections. Who doesn't want to have that? He said, no, it doesn't attract me. You're getting something like this free of charge. Just somebody, a rich man says, just take this. A crore rupees, just take it. Don't say anything, just take it and go away. No, I don't want. He went on higher and higher and higher, giving so many things. And at last he said, I will take you back to Godhead in Vaikuntha. Even that he said, no. Why? Because he was already experiencing Vaikuntha in a small, broken down house. As Thakur Bhaktivinod says, Je dina grihe bhajana dekhi, grihe te goloka bhai. So he was already having bhajan, kriya, smaranam, katha. He was so happy in this topless roof, practically. So even the fullness of Golok Vrindavan, I said, no, nothing. So Mahaprabhu could not insinuate even a pin of fulfillment into his life. Could not even enter, give one thing to him. And he became desperate. The giver of everything, one who is full in himself, Nimai, you can give anything. He's saying, I want to give you something. He became desperate. Said, that was, of course, not that time. That was in the Mahaprakash Leela afterwards. Not at that time. That time he was just bargaining and talking and all that. But in the end, when he comes to Mahaprakash Leela, he said, please, Srivas, ask for something. You will make me happy if you ask for something. And then Srivas Thakur, of course, asked. He said, if you feel like giving me something, the only desire I have is, as you used to do always, come again, every day, to my small shop. I'm just happy to see and talk to you. So that is the fullness of Krishna consciousness which Kulasidhara is experiencing. That means that if there is anything which we are feeling lacking, please, we have to remember this, understand this, that nothing of this world can fill that vacuum. All substitutes of this world are just cheap substitutes. And the classic example is this very pastime. Everything in the world is a cheap substitute. The rubies, the diamonds, the girls, the women, everything which people look for is just not the thing which the heart really wants. The heart is not hankering for this, the heart is hankering only for Krishna. George Harrison, this very realized, enlightened singer of this world, the first line he writes in the foreword of Krishna book, he may not be considered as a great saint in today's world. He's thought of as more like a singer, Beatles and all that. But he was a saint among singers, like there are saint among lawyers and Mahaprabhu Das. Saints are there in all field. Saints among kings, Maharaj Yudhishthir. There are saints among every field. Saints among businessmen, Dasyanda Prabhu. Saints are there in every field. Saints among singers. George Harrison, we can believe that. Without an exaggeration. And the first word line he wrote in the foreword, he had the great fortune of writing the foreword to the World Acharya's most important presentation book, the 10th kind of Bhagavatam. Now, Prabhupada would not allow a foreword to be written by an ordinary man. He had to be a special man to write a foreword to his most important presentation, which he wrote even before he could finish the other cantos. He wrote 7th canto and then stopped. 8th, 9th, 10th came afterwards. After 7th canto, he merely jumped to Krishna book. So that was the most important book this Acharya wanted to give. And the first line George Harrison writes that everyone is looking for Krishna. And when I read that line years ago, it struck me as probably the most important line in my life. It's true what this man is saying. In this one line, he's telling what everyone is looking for. Everyone, if you look, ask somebody, say, what are you looking for, sir? What are you looking for, sir? You know, the Ajtak can go to mic with everybody and say, what are you looking for, sir? I'm looking for a job. I'm looking for money. I'm looking for women. I'm looking for sex. I'm looking for fame. I'm looking for power. Everyone looking for something. No. This man is saying, no, everyone looking for this. All of you are looking for Krishna. What a exalted line. What depth of profound meaning is there in this one line. Everyone, whatever they're looking for, actually looking only for Krishna. Why? Because it is Krishna alone which can add, which is the only vacuum in everybody's life. We may think, I am lacking this, I am lacking that. No, we are lacking only one thing. That is Krishna. And those who have Krishna, that's why they said, kuch ichhane. Those who have Krishna, they become automatically anya abhilashita shunya. Automatically. All desires become, Prabhupada said, zero. Become zero. Why? Because we have Krishna. So, we who are practicing devotees, we need to nourish ourselves with this deep conceptual understanding of the fullness of Radha and Krishna. How Krishna is complete, his devotional service also, being absolute with him, is complete. Therefore, a devotee aspires for nothing in his life except devotional service. Because when he gets that, he feels fulfillment. In the Leela of, very famous Leela of 10th Kanda Bhagavatam, our Brahma Vimohan Leela, we see a very beautiful, spectacular depiction of this principle of fullness. When Brahmaji, the second part of the Leela, when Brahmaji is looking at Krishna, he is already bewildered, he's going here and there, trying to find out what is the real, the first set of cowherd boys and the cows, and this is the second set already created. What is all this? He himself was a little bewildered. Mohit, Brahmavi Mohan. And looking at Krishna, with all these same sets of cowherd boys and cows, and then becomes blank. the screen erases off. There's only, among all that, there's only one person standing there, Krishna, with some fruit or something in his hand. Everything else disappears. Nothing. And then suddenly, from Krishna's body, 400 forms of the Lord start emanating. Hundreds and thousands and millions of 400 Narayan forms emanate from the small boy. Imagine the scene. A small boy of maybe 4 feet. Like any of our tiny tots here. 4 feet tall, small boy. And big 400 forms start emanating from his body. And they all surround him. And along with that are all the principal demigods, 33 million demigods, all offering prayers to this Narayan form. And all that is there. So the fullness of Krishna, the small boy of 4 feet, is so full in himself that even all the Narayans are within him. All the avatars are within him. The entire cosmic manifestation is within him. Everything is a small boy who looks so unassuming. So looks completely unassuming person. How could he be so full in himself? Well, Mahavishnu looks full because he is so big. Like you have a big bag. And you say, it's full because it's such a big bag. It's filled with sabjis and this and that. You come from a big bazaar, shopping mall. You have all these bags. So yeah, your bags are full. So Mahavishnu looks really full because he's so big. And you know that universes are there within him. But Krishna doesn't look full at all. Krishna is so inconceivable that people would mistake him. And Indra did that mistake. The small boy, he stopped my yajna. And they call him God and all that. This talkative boy, he's very arrogant. He doesn't look full, doesn't look like God at all. Krishna does not look like God. Narayan looks like God. Vishnu looks like God. But Krishna does not look like God. That is his fullness, in fact. That is a special dimension of fullness. That he's so full, they can appear not to be God. And then he manifested that form. Everyone knew, this is God. When Yashoda Mai saw in the mouth of Krishna, again that fullness. Yashoda Mai was bewildered by that fullness of Krishna. The small boy, he was not even 4 feet that time. He was much smaller than that. But then the mouth opened. And Mai's mouth, we can imagine a small boy's, three-year-old boy's mouth. It's 1.5 inch by 1.5 inch mouth. Within that 1.5 inch mouth, you can see all the universes, all the galaxies, all the constellations. Everything is there. It's within it. Krishna is full. Not only Krishna is full, because we are connected to Krishna, and the devotee also is experiencing. All that is connected to Krishna also is full in itself. Therefore, devotee also feels very full. Therefore, it's called as Atmaram. Krishna is called Atmaram, and even his devotees are called as Atmaram. It's a very important verse in our Sampradaya, Atmaram. We know this is a verse which was used by Mahaprabhu to talk to Sarvam Bhattacharya. And the revelation of this verse is important in our literature. Mahaprabhu talked in so many different diverse meanings on this one word, Atmaram. And this Atmaram is what? Atmaram means the fullness of Krishna, the fullness of God is Atmaram. And so the Lord's holy name is full. Everything about Krishna is full. If it were not full, the Acharyas do not give us as the only process for Kali Yuga. They said very clearly, Harirnam Harirnam Eva Keval. That means you don't require any additional adjunctive type of treatment. When physicians, doctors treat, they don't just, you must hardly come back from a doctor with one medicine. Anybody remembers going to a doctor and getting only one medicine from him? Isn't it antibiotics and vitamins and painkillers and blah, blah. And you have a whole, what you call, polytherapy. You have a big list of medicines. Sometimes people are popping, you see sometimes prescription. People are popping 20, 25, 30 tablets in a day. Because each medicine is so incomplete in itself, it can just do a small fraction of the work. Then something else is another fraction, another fraction. And 30 tablets together, they cannot do the whole thing still. 30 tablets cannot do the whole thing. And still the guy is feeling sick and this and that. Doctor, I'm taking 30 tablets, I'm not feeling well. Well, this is not Krishna, this is a tablet. Some chemical you're taking, you know, the chemical is going to some part of your body and, you know, repairing that bone, and then something else is going wrong here, something going wrong in your head. So, you know, these are just chemical substances from this man-made, incomplete brain making the pharmacy and, you know, Glaxo and SmithKline, all that big things. But it's a tablet. What can man make? He is so incomplete in himself, poor fellow. What can an incomplete man who is experiencing no fullness in his life at all? He's so damn incomplete in everything in his life. He's so dissatisfied. The biggest symptom of Kali Yuga is what? Dissatisfaction. And a devotee is always satisfied. A dissatisfied man, what can really count? You know, big research and blah and this, that. Oh, so much big science, this, that, technology. Man-made, after all. It is all science and man-made. The incomplete man can only come with something incomplete. A mobile or an AC or a car, it is an incomplete instrument. Because he is so incomplete in himself. But when Krishna makes something, it is complete. You don't require anything. Therefore, he can say authoritatively, Hare Ranam Eva. That's it. You just chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada did not give us a big philosophy. He was there, of course, a lot of books are there. But ultimately, he said one thing. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And all of us are looking for happiness. Anandamaya Vyasat is our nature. If you want happiness, well, Chitrakul Maharaj proves, if you have everything on the planet, it will not make you happy. Everything on the planet can be yours. And you can be utterly miserable, most miserable person. In fact, the citizens were probably happier if they had a small house. I mean, the king had everything and he was unhappy. And the citizens had small house, a hut or whatever. They were very happy. Huh? Prabhupada said, whatever you are, rich man, poor man, ugly man, beautiful lady, whatever you are, you just add this one thing. Because you are bound to be unhappy in this world. This world is designed to be like that. Dukhalayam, you will be unhappy. No matter what you are, whatever socioeconomic strata, whatever lineage, dynasty, gharana, whatever you are, everything, you are going to be miserable. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Why? Because once that Krishna factor enters into your life in the form of the holy name, you experience that. You know, you are full. It's like a person who is, after being hungry, eats a nice meal. He said, yes, I am full. I don't want anything else. Yeah, I am satisfied. Tushti pushti shuddha pai. Yeah, very good. I am nourished. I don't need anything more. Yeah? Krishna's name is like that. That's why they said, all we need is only Krishna. We don't need anything else. Whatever else we need is that desire created by the incompleteness of Maya. Maya's function is only this, to keep acting in our minds and lives in such a way to keep giving you the sense of incompleteness. You are a devotee, but still, see, you don't have this. You need Krishna, yes, but you also need this, of course. So then, you know, she is very convincing, especially Grihasthas, you know, Anand Prabhu, you know how it is. So, yes, I need Krishna, but I also need, you know, that but comes. That but comes, and then the whole big list after that. But I need a house. What about getting a good married partner? What about, you know, a good job? What about a loan from Yamuna Kinara? I need all that. I need all this also. But actually, in actuality, in real fact of life, we may need these things. We don't say that, in a premature way, say, well, I don't need anything, only Krishna, and I'll just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. We need these things for our survival. Basic things are required, not to prematurely become a Paramahamsa and start talking like that. We need, but we are talking philosophically now, that we, no matter what we have, if we just have sufficient amount of Krishna, therefore Acharya say, just keep adding more Krishna into your life. Add more Krishna, more satsang, more chanting, maybe more prasad, but be careful of cholesterol, but more prasad, more yatras, and more deity worship, more singing, more dancing, more Krishna, that's all. And there's more Krishna, and then Maya gets squeezed on one side. Because you're becoming so full with Krishna, that Maya has to go to the corner and she's just, there's no place for me, I have to go out. So if we can only remove Maya by adding more Krishna. We can't remove Maya like that. Just like we cannot remove darkness like that. We just add more Krishna, Maya has no place to stay. She has to go out. So this is what Chitra Kumara's story teaches us as the most important principle, that with all that he had in his life, the moment that Krishna factor entered into his life, all lamentation was over. He became completely normal. And then he sprung from the ocean's depths of lamentation to sprung to the heights of joy and bliss. And when another problem struck him, catastrophe again, Parvati Mata's curse, when that struck him, he was already by that time experiencing the fullness. The fullness was already there to the brim. He was light till here. And Mata Parvati could not even remove 1 inch of that. 1 ounce of that could not become less by that curse. She could not puncture that. It was like a mechanical device, like a balloon, which is full. And then you puncture it and pssst. So it wasn't like an illusory fullness of a balloon filled with water. It was actually substance. It wasn't a balloon-like phenomena. The consciousness was filled with the substance of Krishna. Krishna is not like water. Krishna is substantial. In Brahma Samhita, this word is used. In Angani Sakalendri Avritti Manti, that word is substantial. Krishna is, in fact, substance. In Bhagavatam also, it says, second, this Dharma Purita Kaitava, that shloka is that it is Vastava Vastu. He is substance. He is so much substantial that when he enters into your life, you become full. So Mother Parvati could not puncture and create some deficiency in his life because he was full with Krishna. So then he can say, Swarga or Naraka, wherever I am full with Krishna. I don't care. So to be able to overcome this, the dualities of this life, the ups and downs, the catastrophes will eventually come. Whether we like it or not, they will come. Big or small, they are going to happen. But the only antidote, the only preparedness from our side, when it eventually comes, is, I think, basically I would say two things. Try to be full with Krishna when you are okay, when we are normal. Try to be full. And second is, just be receptive to devotees' association. Like when Angira and Narad came, when they came, he said, you don't understand, you are a brahmachari, Narad Muni. You don't know what it means to lose a son. You're giving me this counsel, but you try to be in my shoes and see how it feels. He didn't say that. His heart was open. So when devotees come with good advice and counsel, we didn't say, Prabhu, I'm telling you, you don't understand this. You don't really understand this. They understand it. The devotees understand it all. They're mature people. And when they give a good piece of advice, they're speaking from the realized platform. Listen to them. Because that is our only hope. So being full with Krishna as much as possible. And if at all we don't become full, then devotees will make it full. So we alone with all our incompleteness, in the association of devotees, we become full. Enough ourselves, we cannot be really too full. Bharat Maharaj was trying to be full in the forest all alone. But the deer came and created a lot of vacuum in his life. He was not full because he had no God brother and God sisters to help him. So we are incomplete. However we feel we are Krishna conscious, we will always be incomplete unless we have the representative of Narad in our life, the spiritual master and the spiritual master's representatives who make our life completely full to the brim. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So is there any questions, comments? So I thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.